This is Merlonian for you.
Ugh, I hate Almond Joy.
Jeez, it kind of breaks it all down. What's your favorite candy?
Whatchamacallit?
What?
Oh, my God, don't No, we're not doing it.
The Celtics season's underway, and Fourier's already swooning over a certain someone.
Big finish, Williams!
Maybe it will go better than the Marcus Smart love affair.
Aren't you tired of everything that involves Marcus Smart?
The Pats are feeling good about a blowout win over the J-E-T-S Jets.
Jocks, they're warming.
But are things as cheery as they seem?
Maybe it wasn't as tight an operation as they expected it to be.
It's Lou.
What kind of brother break?
It's Christian.
Good job, guys. High five.
It's Merlonian and Fourier on WEEI.
Oh, happy Tuesday, everybody. What do you say, Fourier?
Hello, Lou.
Oh, we got a good day.
High five.
What do we got today? Ben Bolin. He's not going to join us from 3 to 5, though. He's going to just call in at
3:30.
Yeah. He's at the NFL owners meetings in New York City, so... Just going to call in, a little one-segment piece with Mr. Ben Bolin. But last night, I don't know, watching a little Celtics last night, early in the year, I understand that, and they're now 2-2.
Yeah.
A couple of overtime games early, but they pulled this one out.
A lot of defense being played lately.
This was actually a fun game, and I don't know how they pulled it out without Al. I mean, Al Horford can't play, and they still go out there and win this game. We were talking before, it was -2, Celtics -2. Looks like they covered this puppy. But I don't know how they did, you know, without Al Horford, but this was... This was a fun game to watch. And
yeah,
I kind of liked what I saw to the end of this one.
Okay, yeah, exactly. New coach, supposedly new attitude, new way of doing business. You're really, I mean, I know it's early, but you're really trying to get an idea of, you know, what type of difference Ime Udoka is going to make on this roster. Like, how is he going to, you know, imprint on them, you know, his philosophy, his attitude, and are they going to, you know, kind of, you know, listen to him and then take that attitude and that philosophy to the court? Because that's what I wanted to see. They got talent, right? It's obvious. You got two all-stars. They got a defensive lockdown, scrappy player, and Marcus Smart.
Your boy.
You got some decent younger players. You got some nice additions, you know, Jabari Parker, everything like that, right? Fine. Schroeder, you got him. But I want to know, okay, would they take a different approach, especially late in games? So when I heard Marcus Smart, I still feel the same way about Marcus Smart, by the way. He's actually proving my point, and we'll get to that later. When I heard Marcus Smart talk about this after the game, I was impressed.
It's showing our growth. You know, I don't know if last year we would have been in that situation. 9 times out of 10, we probably would have folded. And that just shows, you know, the growth that we were showing as teams, as individuals. Things don't go our way. You know, we didn't put our heads down and pout. You know, we got back and we came and we took it from them, you know, in the end when it mattered.
Yeah, so Lou, 9 times out of 10. So he's referring to last year.
Yeah.
Close situations.
I think he's right.
Game in doubt with a minute, who knows what it is. They 9 times out of 10 would have folded. They would have pouted. They would have put their head down. It's just like an admission of guilt right here based on what was going on last year.
Yeah, and I agree with him because there was a point early in this fourth quarter. Remember, it was like I think they were down 3 going into the fourth. And it started to get away from them for the simple fact because it was a Jabari Parker missed 3. It was a Marcus Smart missed 3. And, you know, Tatum missed a layup. He's complaining to the refs. And you're sitting there going, oh, my God, this is the Schroeder missed 3-pointer. And like,
Schroeder.
This is what they do. Like, this is like watching last year. You're down 4 or 5 points. And next thing you know, it's we're going to chuck up some threes. And you know what? If we hit them, we'll stay in this thing.
Sure.
If not, we're down 12. Which is exactly what happened halfway through that second, the fourth quarter. And you're like, nothing's really changed. And then all of a sudden, I don't know if it's the timeout or what it was, they actually started getting back to taking it to the basket. Jaylen Brown to the hoop. They started getting to the basket and not just relying on three-pointers. That was it last year. They didn't come back when they were down 12 last year. There was no, you know, usually the fourth quarter comebacks, they would chuck up threes. And once in a while, they would hit their three-point shots and actually get back into a ball game because of it. But it's short-lived. That's not the way to live.
Well, see,
they went back to playing defense and taking it to the basket, and that's what got them back into that game in the fourth quarter.
And more importantly, okay, so when I watch an NBA game, I feel like the team, like the players as a whole, like the first 3.5 quarters, they're all kind of on just like, you know, cruise control.
Especially regular season.
And early too. They're all on cruise control, and they're all trying to let's just keep it close because we know each team can go on a run, and then we'll really play lockdown defense when it really matters. When the game is in doubt, I feel like they turned it on, they turned it up, and it was obvious that it was a point of emphasis from their head coach. And then, because usually, I mean, when Marcus Smart talking about 9 out of 10 times they would have folded, like I remember late game decisions, late game, you know, heroics were kind of they were there, but the ball would bounce off somebody's knee. Like, they would take a careless, you know, isolation shot with a turnaround fadeaway jump shot that would hit the back of the rim. Like, or somebody would, you know, play hero ball and just say, you know, if no one else is going to do it, I'm going to do it on my own. And there's four other better options for them to win the game. But small sample size, so let's not get carried away. But it seems like, okay, at least like with Marcus Smart identifying that last year, 9 times out of 10, they all agree that they would have lost the game.
Yeah.
Not 50%. Basically, every single time they were in that situation, they were going to lose the game.
Well, that's why you're 500 basketball.
Yeah, exactly. Because
you cough up, even if it's five or six games, you're 12 games over, right? So if you can spin six the other way, and I would agree. And what I mean, your boy Marcus Smart. Now, when you say I still feel the same way about him, I need like a Marcus Smart check with you, because there are times when he is the glue and the seed, and then there's times when you want to trade him away. So when you say you still feel the same way about Marcus Smart, what is that right now?
What he did last night is what they need him to be all the time. And I would even say I saw an example of growth. Okay, so he's playing defense. He's always going to make plays. He's always going to be disruptive. He's always going to be scrappy. He's always going to like just piss the other coach off and the other player off, because they're taking breaks and he isn't. He'll always dive for balls. King of the loose ball. But when I saw him last night, okay, in another opportunity where the game is in doubt, he has the ball and the clock's ticking.
Steal.
Yeah, and then he calls timeout.
Yeah.
Normally, I would think that here's a guy that's going to say, I'm going to have to shoot this ball. Or I saw him passing it up where he ultimately would have been shooting the ball. And I don't think he's fixed. I still feel like he wants to shoot threes.
Well, that's
but he should not be the number one option ever.
No, and that's the thing. Like, so he makes that steal, right? And then he gets the ball back and you think, oh no, because he had the steal, he's gonna try to end this game himself, right? But there's a timeout there. But this was the Marcus Smart game. This was Marcus being 1 for 9 from 3-point land.
That's him.
Like 1 for 9.
A little bit better,
3 for 12
be nice.
Shooting in the game, 1 for 9 from threes. But defense late when it mattered. Ime Udoka talked about Marcus Smart and that play after the game.
I said it to the group in there. I said, I don't care about the 41 and the 30 from you guys. Marcus, play of the game, you know, taking that last shot away from them. And so he does all the little things. He does so much that doesn't show up in the box score. But we know the toughness and the heart and soul of our team comes from him.
Well, I would say to Ime, if he didn't score 41 and 30, he wouldn't have been in the position to steal to mean anything either, correct?
Yeah, but I mean, I know what he's saying, though.
No,
the point is, but because
it's
the
Marcus
game.
Smart, who he is.
Like, how many games, like the best NBA teams, like, you know, it's funny, like, you'll have like a minute and 30 left, and then I don't know how many possessions they get inside a minute and 30. Like, it's like, okay, shot, okay, tied up, timeout. Half court, you know, call it to play, okay, run out as much as you can, timeout, shot, change of possession, half court, call up a play. Like, to me, that's where these games are won, especially, like, inside 8 minutes. Go back and look at last year's games.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember just going, you know what? I'm just going to forward to the last 8 minutes. And then everybody was trying harder. Like, everybody was running faster. Like, does it look like Jaylen Brown's knees are bothering him? Like, it doesn't look like they're bothering him at all.
No, he did miss another dunk, even though
he also went up. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look like his knees are bothering him at all.
I would say,
I think that was key.
The thing with Marcus Smart, we've said this before, because I'm serious when, like, Udoka says the 41-30 doesn't impress me as much as the Smart play. Well, again, this is why we say Marcus Smart needs to be on a winning type of team. Because if you don't have guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, these defensive plays in the fourth quarter mean nothing. All they mean is you lose by 12 instead of 15. You know what I'm saying? So if Marcus Smart was on a bad basketball team and was 3 for 12 shooting and 1 for 9 from three, but came up with a beautiful steal late, it doesn't matter because your team sucks and you're not in a position to win because he's killing you. But you got other guys out there that are able to score. I still say 1 for 9 for three is way too much.
It is.
Way too much.
Well, if you're going to shoot 9 times, you got to at least
five.
You know, give me 3 to 4 of them.
I want like 5.
Can you give me 35% from three?
There's still. Of the 9, I, off the top of my head, I can think of like 3 just sort of coming across half court, kicking back to him and just firing up a 3. 6-7 seconds into the shot clock. You know, and it's like, no, that's how we eliminate 4 to 5 threes from you a game.
Well,
that's how we do it. Don't take that one.
That to me has always been the challenge.
And then he goes and does this, and everyone's like, well, that's Marcus. You got to take the good with the bad. No.
Exactly.
What's wrong with taking the good and trying to reduce the bad?
Yeah, get rid of the bad.
Like, try to just reduce it a little bit, right?
Just suck
a little bit. So I don't know what you guys thought about this Celtics team going in. I'm curious if you guys think this team can be any better. than they were last year, just from what you've seen four games. They're 2-2. 617-779-7937. And Ime Udoka, last night after the game, explained an end-of-the-game situation, I'll call it. Great explanation of it. I just still disagree with him. You'll hear that next. All right, welcome back. Maloney and Fourier talking about the big Celtics win last night, 140-129. It was a win. I don't have to call it a big win, but overtime win against Charlotte.
Big win, like game number four. Yep.
Woo! Over Charlotte. So
must there win.
Was situations last year, situations again already this year that annoy the hell out of me, and I think some Celtics fans. Late in games, when you see whether it's inbounds or just bringing the ball down the court and time left, not much time on the clock. You see Tatum with the ball, maybe playing a two-man game with Marcus Smart, and you see Jaylen Brown standing in the opposite corner, just standing there. Like, not even involved. And we talk about all the time, like, why they just put Jaylen in the corner? Why are they putting Baby in the corner? It's like he's not even part of the, you know, 30 seconds, last shot, 20 seconds to go, 15 seconds. He's not even part of the play. Just take your man and go in the corner. And I despise it. Well, at least last night, Ime Udoka was asked this. I think Murph asked him last night, you know, why is it that Jaylen's in the corner and it's a two-man game? And it was a good answer. Here's Ime.
Yeah, well, they have their best defenders most of the time. I mean, not just tonight, but every game they're going to have their best defenders on those two guys. So we wanted to pick on Ball late in the game there. If it wasn't Ball, we wanted to put Hayward in it. Those are the guys we were picking on. We put a lot of small pick and rolls. It was either Dennis or Marcus setting it, and we wanted to try to take advantage of Ball. If we involved Jaylen, it'd obviously be two of the best guys, probably Bridges. And our plan was to pick on Ball, use our size, and hopefully they helped and we could kick the ball and get some open shots.
Good answer. And I love the fact that he actually just openly admitted that the plan was to pick on Ball and Gordon Hayward, like defensively, just coming out. Like in regular season, you know, maybe in the playoffs you start talking about like exposing guys defensively like Kemba, you know what I mean? But in a regular season game, yeah, just letting you guys know, our plan was to pick on LaMelo Ball and Gordon Hayward. And that's what we do. I still hate it.
Why?
I still hate it. Because a two-man game with Tatum and Smart, he throws the ball down to Tatum, and guess who gets double-teamed?
Tatum.
Guess who's wide open?
ooh, Marcus.
And who takes the shot?
Old Marcus or new Marcus?
No, it's just Marcus. So it's like you play this two-man game, and I get it. You know, maybe you can switch, you know, and have, you know, Tatum on Ball, but then there's going to be a double-team coming because it's Tatum, and you're going to kick it to Smart, who's open. If you have Jaylen Brown and Tatum playing a two-man game, do you think they're going to double-team Jason Tatum? I don't care if it's your best defenders. Like, I understand that. But at least Jason Tatum, your best scorer is one-on-one to a guy. If they'd leave Brown and double-team Tatum, now Brown is wide open for the three or taking it to the hoop, which I feel a lot better about. So I get that not having the two best defenders in the same area. But isn't that just inviting a double team to Tatum and kicking it to an open Smart, which is what nobody wants? Let Tatum go one-on-one. You double team him, you're going to make a pay with Jaylen Brown.
No, I get it, but I wouldn't overthink and get too uptight about that just based on the fact that it is so early.
But it's their philosophy. It's not going to change.
It is right now, but you could do a two-man game with Jaylen and Tatum. Like, you can do the same thing with that.
Well, based on that reasoning, which I understand, the two best defenders cover these guys. He doesn't want them in small areas. But I still don't like it. Like I think you're going to get more man-to-man on Tatum and let him make a play. And say, listen, if you want to double Tatum because the ball's in his hand, go right ahead. I got Jaylen Brown out here, not Marcus Smart. Because if I'm another coach, like you're playing defense. You're allowing the defense to dictate what you want to do and who you want to make that last shot. Like, it's just a very defensive-minded mindset in my mind. Like, I don't like it at all. Let Tatum be one-on-one. And if you double him, because if I'm another coach, what are you going to do? You're going to see Smart and Tatum play a two-man game? What are you going to do? You're going to double-team Tatum all day long and say, Marcus, go ahead. You're 1-for-9. Go ahead, shoot it.
I know. And I think, don't you think, though, want to just assume that that's been addressed? I don't think it's –
Brad did the same thing last year.
I know. And I think a lot of it – I think if you're going to change it – like, listen, if you leave him open, and then he's got to shoot the ball. Okay, he's got to. So at that point in time, time permitting, you realize, you know, what you have time, if you have time to pass it off or not. But to me, this is a Marcus Smart growth situation.
1-for-9?
Opportunity. No, that's my point. So if you're working the two-man game and then they're doubling, well, there's going to be another option coming back around.
No, he's like, the option.
No, to me, the what you're seeing right now, this is not who they're going to be in another 3 months. It isn't going
to
be.
But I'm just saying, like, defensively, I don't even rotate to him. You know, like, we double-team Tatum, and somebody up top rotates to Smart because he's open. I wouldn't even do that. I would just stay on Brown, stay on Schroeder, and just say, go ahead.
Yeah.
I dare you.
Yeah, I know, I know. Listen, I'm not saying that it's not a problem. I'm not saying that. I just believe that everybody knows that that's the outcome. Like, you don't need to be a basketball savant.
Do you like the outcome?
Okay. No, I don't. I've been telling you for years I don't like the outcome.
So
that's the biggest issue.
So stop doing that.
Okay, so to my point to you is, do we really think this is what it's going to be?
Well, again.
It's going to be part of their offense, yes, but it's also not going to be, hey, got to have a type situation. Let's put our team in a situation where we all know what the outcome is.
No, but I
Tatum's going to be doubled. Smart's going to be wide
all
open.
I'm saying is you're looking for differences, right? And I like the way they finished that game because they didn't just rely on the three to get him back. And I think that was one of the reasons why they got back into it. Brown taking it to the basket. Guys taking it to the hoop, moving the basketball, not just settling for a difficult three and hoping it goes in, and then we can praise you for a big three to cut the lead to three or cut the lead to two. But you know what? More times than not, they miss it. It's still a six-point game. Here comes an easy bucket. It's now an eight-point game. Here comes the next hero three, and now it's an 11-point game and there's a timeout. That's what we saw last year. So I like that part of it. But there was that situation at the end of games. Celtics fans picked up on it all year last year. It was just like it's a two-man game, and Jaylen Brown takes his defender and just gets him out of the way so Smart and Tatum can play a two-man game. And it's like, what are we doing? Let's go back to the phone calls. Let's get to them, actually. AJ on the Cape. AJ, what's up? You're a big Marcus Smart fan, huh?
Oh, my God. Like, he's 11 for 40 shooting field goals this year. He's 7 of 29 for 3. We go through this every single season with him. He doesn't know his role. And he's only shot one free throw this season. He doesn't.
He's one for one.
A reason. They leave him open for a reason. Like, when we played the Lakers in the finals, Kobe guarded Rondo. Because Rondo couldn't shoot. Kobe, like, played off and helped defense with everybody else. Rondo didn't shoot because Rondo knew he couldn't shoot. Smart needs to pick up a page out of Rondo's book.
See, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. Like, the book's out on him.
Thanks, AJ.
The book's out on him. I totally agree. Okay, but he's such an enigma to me based on what he brings to you as far as intangibles. Like, things that, and Ime Udoka, he talks about it. Like, things that don't show up on the stat sheet. You know, like just identifying situations, making a clutch defensive play, aggravating their best player, getting all up in his face, taking charges. Yes, there is a place for that. At what point is it detrimental to the outcome of the game, especially when it matters? Like first, second, third quarter, I don't care. 8 minutes left in the game, different approach.
I understand, but what bothers me more than anything, we talk about limiting his shots, and you are literally creating a play for him to shoot late.
He likes it.
No, you are by doing
like
what you're doing.
Shot.
Like you are, you know, you got Tatum out there in the wing, maybe on the post or whatever it is, throw it down, maybe try to back his guy in or make a move. And it's Marcus Smart. Oh, Marcus Smart's on the wing. Tatum's got the ball at the top. He takes it to the basket, and guess who he kicks it out to his right? It's Marcus Smart. Like you literally, by having these two play a two-man game, no one's going to let Tatum beat you late. You are creating shots for a guy that you're trying to reduce his shot attempts.
Late, with seconds to go. So you tell me what the solution.
Get his ass out of there.
It's not coming out.
Put his ass in the corner.
Here's the problem. See,
and Jaylen Brown on the wing to Tatum's right. Or Brown on top of the key and Tatum down low if you want.
Okay.
Play a two-man game with those two.
My opinion was this, and I said it last year, that, okay, when the game is in question, 2 minutes left, offensive possession, take him off. If there's why?
I wouldn't even do that.
Why? No, yes. You listen.
He moves the ball.
They sub all the time, and he is good at assists, okay? So if you don't want him shooting, you got to take him off the court because he is going to shoot. So if you want to remove that from the equation, take him off the court.
Tape his hands together.
They get a shot, timeout, bring him back on.
Put some cuffs on him.
Get all kinky with him.
Like, hand him Marcus,
Lecter. Hey,
roll
Mark,
out the mask on.
We're going to get all kinky right now. Come over here, put these handcuffs on. I don't know what to tell you. Like, this is going to be the conversation all year. I love him. I hate him. I hate him. I love him. Oh, my God. I mean, it's not leaving. It's not. And especially when everyone, Ime Udoka is praising you, saying that you won the game for us. I don't care about 40 points. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what he's doing. He's basically sending Marcus Smart a message. Hey, listen, Points suck, dude. Who wants to score points?
I don't want
kidding
you to
me?
Score 10.
You, dude, the cool, you know what the cool kids are doing? They're playing defense,
we
man.
Know the toughness and the heart and soul of our team comes from him.
Yeah, well, dude, the defense, dude, offense sucks.
All right, we'll see, because they got, what is it, tomorrow night, they got the Wizards.
Oh, yeah, and he played sick. Yeah. He played sick.
Oh, he's got balls.
That's why he shot so bad.
Oh, is that why?
He's had a sniffles.
Is it, you saw something different?
And I would like to say, like, why?
Uncharacteristic, Marcus, 1-for-9. You don't normally see that from him.
And for the record, shouldn't COVID eliminate anyone having a flu game ever again?
Kind of, sort of.
There should be no more flu games.
Tatum and Brown have inhalers.
Well, he's a flu. Yeah, that's
flu
a good
game's
point.
A little overrated.
Like, guys, if you have like the flu, they hold you out. Right? Like, hold you out. Yeah. Like, you know, safety protocol.
You got a fever.
We don't know. We got to get him tested. You got to wait 4 days. Ugh. You got sniffles. 4 days. 5 days. Protocol.
Yeah. Contact tracing. Who is he near?
All right. Listen, we're going to revisit the Celtics a little bit later. But it seems like it's all sunshine and rainbows down there in New England. No question with Gillette, I should say, with the Pats. But was the 41-point destroyal of the Jets more of a Band-Aid for a bigger problem that could be exposed here on Sunday? We're going to get to that next on Maloney and Fourier.
All right, fellas, here's a really good chance for us to start believing in some of the stuff we're doing. Don't turn the ball over. It's a good place to start. Scored on 9 of 10 possessions offensively.
Damn.
Yock, stiff arming. All right, making plays in a passing game. All right, defensively, turn the ball over. Getting vertical in the pocket. Knocking the ball out of there. It's a great fumble at the end of the game. Just keep playing. Fellas, Cody, 5 tackles.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, one day at a time, you can see the results of it. You just got to keep stacking them together.
That was Bill Belichick postgame.
Woo!
It's like me talking to my 12U after a nice day of baseball.
Stack them together.
Jimmy, great diving. Hey, you, that walk you drew in the fifth, outstanding. Hey. And you, when you threw it in, you hit the relay guy.
Oh, yeah.
And you ran as hard as you could the first. You were outstanding.
Very good focus. Who is doing the...
I don't know. Yeah, somebody's always dog barking, aren't they? Somebody.
Is it? It's. I know there's a frat, the Q Dogs or something like that.
Whatever.
Where everything they do. But I feel like when you do something well today, I'm gonna bark.
Oh, thank you.
Like, if you make a good point.
Yes.
Okay. If I feel like you have a really good analysis of something, even with Ben, I'm gonna bark.
Well, okay. This hour, Maloney and Fourier is brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Ram Power Days on the new Ram trucks at 495ram.com.
So you know what that sounded like to me?
A lot of people are happy.
Oh, yeah. You should be happy. This is cracking me up.
With the stiff arm?
Listen, everybody got involved. Everybody's happy.
Cody Davis? Is that his name?
Five tackles.
That's gotta be David.
Hey Ryan! Hey Ryan! Great soundbite.
You think it's David Andrews?
Oh, it's gotta be.
He would do like a deer or duck call.
No,
or something.
Like
a hunter.
I'm picturing like a
Trent Brown.
No, I'm talking. It's like a little defensive back who wants to be like a big dog, so they bark.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking.
Miles Bryant. Miles Bryant. Is that his name? The new guy?
He had a good game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, see, to me, that sounds...
Why didn't you tell me I had a good game, Coach?
To me, that was cracking me up because it's like, it reminds me of kids.
Van Noy could be a barker. Yeah. Van Noy could be a barker.
No, he's too sophisticated. Okay. He thinks he's way too evolved for that. I would never bark.
So I got a feeling that you kind of didn't feel like it's just like everything is too good or something, you know? Because you don't really give him too much credit for that win yesterday anyways.
No, you were mentioning like what happens post game for like your 12U team or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I've done that also. You know, the parents get around.
Great play.
You have to make sure you say something about everybody.
Yes.
And look at little Louie. Look, I tell you what, you never play, but boy, I tell you what, you cheered like a son of a bitch. All right, good job. And little, hey, Jack, hey, dude, we're watching you.
You wore that too. When you got drilled in the elbow, you didn't cry at all until you got the first. Got the first.
Yeah, you know, hey, like my daughter the other day, she was playing soccer. Like, they kicked the ball and hit her right in the gut. And I remember the coach was like, hey, you know what? And you took that shot and you were fine. You got up and you kept playing. The smallest achievement. You're over-exaggerating your praise.
Kind of like
even with
Cam.
The smallest achievement. Yeah, a little bit like Cam. Because, like, listen, you're trying to. It is all about confidence. It is all about believing in yourself. It is, even though it's the Jets. Even though it's the Jets.
Yeah, so Devin McCourty, who's been a couple of times we've talked about him, and he's talked after games about or to the media about, you know, this team kind of, you know, judging themselves or looking at themselves like teams of the past, and we're not. You know, we talked about it before. Like, we give them credit for the name on the front of their jerseys because of what the guys who played before them did, and we just expect them to do it. So McCourty, after the game, just threw out this little nugget about that final touchdown to CeeDee Lamb. This is after the Dallas game.
We were in a tough call, I think, for the route they ran. They dialed up a good play for what we try to do, kind of situational football. What they like to do, we tried to take it away. Dak was able to hold it for another second. We kind of took the first two reads, the two tight ends, to the flat on our left side. But extended play, he got to kind of get back to the middle, and that's where we were kind of light at, and that was it.
So we've heard him, and it's just sort of, you hear that comment, and he's sort of like, okay, they were in a tough call for the route they ran. I don't know, is that him saying that we had the wrong play?
Wrong call.
So, but still, you just sort of, you hear that sound, you just sort of like move on. But then it was Albert Breer, and he was on the NBC Sports pregame show Sunday morning, and he had this to say about maybe some things sort of brewing.
Listening to what Devin McCourty said last week, you can kind of see it. Normally, these things that get taken care of but behind closed doors, but seeing Devin McCourty publicly talk about the state of the team, I think at least set off some alarm bells down there. And there is a feeling that I've gotten from some people, from some newcomers coming into the team, that maybe it wasn't as tight an operation as they expected it to be. And I think the question is going to become now whether some of the older guys who aren't what they were on the field, guys like Dante Hightower, Devin McCourty, Kyle Van Noy, are able to get through to the younger guys.
So to me, the part was, you know, talking to some of the newcomers, and the place isn't what it was kind of said to be, right? It's not as tight run ship, maybe, like, you know, as far as some of the newcomers coming in here and saying, like, you know, we are used to, and the media we've been talking about, and fan base, you know, has been talking about, and other coaches have been talking about, you know, this Patriot team doesn't make mistakes. They don't hurt themselves. They pay attention to detail. Good fundamental football. All these things. They don't lose games. And this is what these newcomers think it's about in Patriot way. And then you played the first four or five games, and you're kind of like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
We're making little mistakes.
Yeah.
I thought this team's always had the best special teams. Now that I'm here, we're loose. We don't have good special teams.
Yeah,
we make mistakes. We fumble. We take penalties. Like some of the newcomers.
Yeah, so the newcomers like, wow, it's a little bit looser than I thought.
This isn't what I expected. This isn't what I thought the Patriots were going to be. Like, I think that is interesting, right? And you start thinking about some of the leaders, and as you mentioned, guys like McCourty, guys like Slater, guys like Hightower, they're probably on their way out, correct?
Yes. Yeah. No, I mean, Van Noy, Hightower, Jamie Collins, I mean, line them up. No, I don't think they're long for this job anymore. I don't.
See, and I think that's why this win was important. I think a lot of that stuff after that Dallas game. I could see guys coming out to that Dallas game and just being like, man, we've talked about this before. You know, playing for Bill's not easy, but you win. Playing for Bill and not winning can't be easy at all, especially for somebody who coming over here thought it was maybe going to be a little bit different. And I don't necessarily look at Bill. I still think he's a great coach. I look at, like, you know, maybe some of these guys looking at their position coaches and saying, who are you? How long have you been doing this?
Yeah, exactly. That may be a better point.
Yeah,
so you've won how many Super Bowls? Wait, so who did you coach? Okay, you've only been in the last three
special
years.
Special teams have been great, but how long have you been coaching special teams?
So Bill, you worked
year?
Under Bill
Second
O'Brien.
Year?
Oh, okay, I get it.
You didn't
I
work with
it.
Joe Judge. You were behind Joe
right.
Judge.
Yeah, you were his assistant.
But you know what I mean? Like,
and
I
then
I
you
think,
got promoted.
And we've had this discussion before about, like, the assistant coaches. And in years past, they just sort of cycle them through, and you just find new good coaches.
You know what?
Is there a chance they haven't found good new coaches?
You know what? The thing that I thought was most interesting over the years for the Patriots was, I guess, how they transferred power. Like, not executives, not coaches, you know, how they transferred power and passed the torch from one obvious leader to the next, and how that new leader kind of accepted that torch and kind of carried on the whole mentality. Like, usually there's a drop. Usually when that torch gets passed to the next young up-and-coming linebacker, like a Gerard Mayo, he drops it. He doesn't want to accept it. He wants nothing to do with it. He doesn't like the rules and regulations. He wants to be loose. He wants to be free. He wants to speak freely to the media. He doesn't want somebody filtering what he says. But for them to continually find guys that take their whole attitude and imprint it on the rest of the team, and the rest of the team listens, is, I'm telling you, Lou, amazing. It usually doesn't happen for as long as it's happened. But so you've had strong, strong internal leadership. And now it seems like, you know, new guys are coming in going, what? This is what all the fuss was about? This is why guys didn't want to play here? This is why guys were nervous about becoming Patriots and it had to be about the money? It's always about the money. But then you kind of go, is this worth the money? You know, you start scratching your head. I remember being a free agent. My two options were Tom Coughlin and Bill Belichick. Like, for real. Like, holy crap. What's the difference between the two?
Yeah.
And I picked Bill. Like, and I remember calling players that played under Tom Coughlin, and to a man, they said, dude, stay away from this guy for as long as you can. You do not want to play for Tom Coughlin. Like that. Yeah. Listen, they do this. They don't give you breaks. They don't do this. But the word on Bill was fair, hard. You got to work hard, right? You got to come to work. But he's fair. And I realized that the first day I showed up, I sat in his office and said, listen, dude, I got jacked up ankles. I can't practice every day. And he just said, I'll take care of you. And he did. So I remember Ty Law being pissed off one day when I was in shorts and a t-shirt just chilling. And he was mad that I wasn't practicing. And I was like, well, that's not my problem. You didn't get that in your contract.
Well, I just wonder that, like, you know, because you tell me, like, when you look at, say, the draft picks, when you talk about core, like, I just look at a guy like Hightower and I think of Bruschi to Mayo to Hightower. And it to who? Bentley? Uche? Like, you know what I mean? I'm starting to think, like, McCourty to, is it Kyle Duggar? Like, is the core through the draft, or did they create a core through free agency? Because a lot of the free agents, they weren't old. You know, they're young guys. Guys like Judon. You know, Hunter Henry. I don't know.
You don't think you can do that? You don't think the mentality can be passed on to an older guy that already has been in the league 6 years, that already has his own opinion and doesn't want to, you know, change his opinion to kind of fit in?
I just think hearing about what's expected of you and coaches telling you what's expected from you is different than a core player who has been there for 10 years, 5 years, 6 years telling you. It always means more coming from your teammate. Like, to me, it's always, I remember even like playing, even like baseball, I was like in Cleveland with Eric Wedge. And he was just like, listen, because I was an older player then a little, you know, after being from Boston for a little bit, it was a young team. And it was like, I can talk to this guy, but if it comes from you, it means more. You know what I mean? Rather than a coach. Do they have that? So, like, who's Hunter Henry learning from?
He doesn't have to learn from, I mean, listen, it's.
No, he learns the San Diego way.
Well,
the
Charger way.
Why can't we do.
Why can't they already be ready to go? Why do they have to learn anything?
Expectations are different. Right? We've heard it before. We go to New England, expectations are different. Maybe they do things differently. They pay attention to this. So you have to sit there and come from San Diego and sort of be like, okay, how are things different here? What's expected of me? And the coaches could pass that along, but maybe it's an inexperienced coach.
He's
trying to learn that same way as well. How the hell does he teach that? Like Dante Scarnecchia can teach the way. He knows the way.
But that's technique.
How about the new guy?
To me, this, you know,
is he teaching the way?
The difference between the Patriots and, let's say, other teams, not all teams, because there's a lot of teams out there that have the right mentality and approach, and the players know it when they get there. The difference is, like, college players, when they become pros, a lot of them just, like, there's no real leadership. There's no real rules. Everyone just kind of does what's best for them. And that, or they don't take a business approach to pro football. They take an amateur approach. They take, hey, I'm in college. I only have two classes. This isn't a full-time job. So they take a part-time approach to a full-time job. And it shows. It shows when they mess up. It shows when they go home early. It shows when they come in late. With the Patriots, it's not that way. It is a full-time job. Bring your playbook. Bring your notebook.
Right.
Come in ready to work.
All I'm saying,
not ready to study.
No.
Ready to work.
All I'm saying is like when you have those, you know, McCourties and Hightowers and these kind of guys, and I think Brady had a huge role in this offense, or Julian Edelman, Gronk, whatever it might be, you know, Logan Mankins, but Scarnecchia, the coach, you know, it's a guy's coming on from other organizations. It's like, okay, this is what we're expecting. You've been in the league for 5 years. You know, you're a great player in your other city, but, you know, this is just, trust me. You know, when things go sideways a little bit in camp or early in the season, hey, trust me. Just stay with it. It works. You know, I've seen it. I know. And I think sometimes there's that little bit of that convincing is needed. And they still have it with Slater, Hightower, you know, McCourty. and I look around elsewhere, and I'm like, is Jacoby Myers, like, rookie quarterback, rookie running backs for the most part, like, new tight ends, and it's sort of like, where's that reinforcement on the field coming from the players?
So it's funny when you hear the quote from Albert Breer when he says, this isn't what I expected. This isn't what I thought the Patriots were going to be. What do you mean, bad? You didn't think they were going to – no. You didn't think they were going to be bad.
Oh, play sloppy.
You didn't think you were going to be 2-4. Like, I mean, no, that to me is you – I think some players go – there's certain teams where you go, playoffs no matter what. Playoffs every year. Okay, I mean, I've never been to the playoffs, so, man – tailor-made, already set up. We just got to do the basics, and we're going to get into the playoffs. It's worth the time and energy. But not what I thought. It's not what I thought it was going to be. Yeah, losing. You didn't think you'd be losing. Why can't that be what he was referring to?
Mm-hmm.
Why does it have to be leadership? Why can't it be, man, I thought we'd win these close games. Oh, yeah, but Brady's not here.
I thought we'd
be better defensively. Like, oh, yeah, but
Hunter Henry's probably a good example. You know, we were out in L.A., San Diego. A lot of his career was in San Diego, and it was – we found ways to lose late, right?
Yeah, there you go.
So I come to New England where they don't find ways to lose late. They yeah. find ways to win late.
Yeah.
And he shows up and he's like, I feel like I'm back in San Diego again. Like, I feel like we're finding ways to – and this time it's not because of the coach. You know, Lance Lynn was awful, right? But I'm still on a team that finds ways to lose. I thought it would be different here. I didn't think we would make the stupid mistakes. I thought it was a tight ship. I thought we were disciplined. I thought, you know what I mean? I didn't think we'd turn the ball over or block punts and everything else. So some of these guys may be coming from teams, even Jalen Mills in Philadelphia. Been a tough couple of years down there. I thought I was coming to a team where we won games late, not yeah. gave them away like they have.
I think that's just as valid as it that being it than anything else. I think that's it. Hey, I thought we were going to win. I didn't think we were going to be so miserable. Like, I can understand when I came here, they won a Super Bowl, and I didn't know what to expect. And they had no idea they were going to go on this unbelievable run of 20 years and win 5 more Super Bowls.
Which is why I'm not discounting that win on Sunday. I'm not, because I do think, like we said.
Am I really discounting it, though?
Yes, you are. You killed it.
Absolutely.
Wait, how am I? I'm not discounting it.
Yeah, you said it's the Jets.
I said there's
about.
No, you keep saying it's the Jets.
Well, you got it.
Every time you say something good, you say, oh, but it is the Jets.
No, but it's so always a but.
You actually dismiss them.
But it's a but.
Dismiss their achievement more than I do.
But it's always
if you don't
a but.
Know it.
I know it's the Jets, but.
You dismiss. You're more dismissive than I am.
It was an impressive win. Okay.
Say I'm more dismissive
I'm not,
than you.
Because I kept saying. You
are.
But I think that. You need and you need something. You need to show that, listen, if we do, like Bill even said in that clip, you know, every day, just sort of add on, just keep doing it. Trust me, it'll work. That is hard to hear, you know, when you lose a game late to Miami and you lose a game late to, you know, you had a chance in that New Orleans game, late to Tampa, late to Dallas, struggle to get through a Houston game. You needed a game like that. We sat there and said, okay, yes, we can score in the red zone. You know, we cannot turn the ball over. Defensively, we can stop a team. I don't care who's at quarterback. Like, you know, special teams can be effective. Like, there needs to be a buy-in. Like, you need to start buying because there's so many new faces that it had a chance to go sideways and then be like, you know what? I ain't buying in any of this crap. You know what the bottom line is? Brady ain't here no more. None of this crap works without him. So there needs to be a buy-in. I don't care who it's against, and I'm not going to say the team they played. Now, it has to continue this weekend, but that's why I think that game was important. I think it's a confidence boost for some of these players individually and as a group to see that, okay, he's busting our balls, and maybe it took 7 weeks. I don't know, but maybe now we can go. Now we can take off. Yeah. This is what I signed up for.
Yeah.
Lose by 40 to the Chargers. Now we're right back to where we were.
I'm telling you, we got to find out who. Hey, can you watch the video and see if you can see the guy that's looks like he's barking?
Yeah, I bet Mac will tell us. Let's ask Mac on Monday.
Ooh,
I'm sure he'll tell us.
Who's the barker in the group?
It was actually Gunnar Olszewski.
That's a good choice.
Hey, I wouldn't be surprised.
Is it Gunnar?
I wouldn't be surprised.
No, that is
all.
Not. I don't think Gunnar has that deepness. Ryan was saying that it was Winovich, but he's Chase. On IR.
No.
He's not
Winovich
barking.
Would like whistle like a bird.
Yeah.
You know, he's, I don't know,
you know, you know what, guys? You need to think deeply about the situation.
Like if you turned in and you were having this meeting and your place kicker just started barking, would you just kind of look at him and go, what
I would
the
kick
hell
him
is
the,
wrong
I would
with
kick
you?
Him in the ding ding and tell him to get out of here. This is a room for men.
So you don't think it's Nick Folk?
I would say, get the hell out of here.
I think it might be
stupid
Nick Folk.
Kicker. Why do I hate kickers so much?
You do hate kickers.
I hate kickers.
You do hate kickers.
You know why? You know why I hate kickers?
Why?
Imagine you do all the work. You do all the work. You study. You're doing everything. No, I don't need that music.
And then
this other guy literally has another job, comes out, never breaks a sweat, and is the beneficiary of all your hard work.
Screws up your hard work.
Even that's what made it even worse.
Or you make a great catch, you get pummeled, but just to get you enough in the field goal range, you did your job. You're getting high fives. That's a point for you. Way to hold on to that ball.
Yes.
Great job. You're just looking up to your helmets off. You're like, everybody loves me. Everybody loves me. And then the guy lines up and it's wide right.
Yeah.
And you're like, no one's going to talk about me anymore.
No.
This guy
you just ruined
up my,
it. Yeah. So that play means nothing.
If he hit it, we'd be talking about my play.
Yeah.
But because he missed it. Now I just got a headache.
I just asked you to do maybe five things throughout the 3-hour time frame. Five things. That's it. We may not even call on you. But if we do, could you be ready? Could you like say, you know, go see that net over there? Go kick into that net.
Oh, it's crazy.
Make believe that's a real field goal.
All right, you know, I'm going to take my boy House here before break because he wants a little thoughts.
Oh, House was not leaving.
Marcus Smart. House, what's up, man? Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, listen. When y'all said that about Marcus Smart, I was just thinking, like, wouldn't that take away the intimidation factor? I think it's an intimidation factor with Marcus Smart as far as when other defenders see him and they coming down on him, they thinking different than, per se, let's say, they're coming down on Grant Williams or something, who's been playing excellent, by the way. You know, so I just think Marcus, when one of y'all said he does the things that's unseen. I think he does the things that's it's unseen, but it's bigger than some of the things that's done that's seen.
You know, no, I called it. They're intangibles. You know, there's no stats for them.
Right, appreciate it.
They don't have a stat for hustle. You know,
I just saw a text. I got
what did I say?
No,
what did I say?
When did MC Search and Pete Nice's Love Child start doing Celtics pregame?
Who? Wait, say that again?
Is an MC Search reference? Is that guy still around?
Third base.
I
noticed this last night.
You need to play that,
I don't know.
Ryan.
He's talking about Forsberg. Did you see he's got lines in his hair?
Like arrows? Like old school 80s,
like
90s?
Left side of his ear.
Like,
oh, no.
He's got lines.
I don't believe it.
He does. He's got like a lightning bolt or something I'm not even lying. I was laughing. I was like, look at Chris.
He's got
sides, but he's got lines in
his
head.
He looks great. I like it.
He got Zorro shaved in the side of his head like from like when white man
can't
jump.
Looks like a long stretched out Zorro. I was like, look at
someone, please find me a picture of that.
I like that. MC Search, Pete Nice. Oh, give me the third base all day long, man. All day long. All right.
All right.
Oh, God, that was just a good one. It got me a good laugh. All right. How about last night? We got to get into this because actually on Sunday, another great achievement by Tom Brady. Another one. 600 touchdown passes. I mean, we're going to talk about that as far as the record goes and what happened to the football and what the guy got back and did he get enough. We'll do that next with Maloney and Fourier.